Welcome to the Humans for SDGs podcast,
where we feature everyday individuals who are taking action for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
These 17 Sustainable Development Goals aim to transform the world by year 2030 by eradicating poverty, protecting the environment, achieving prosperity, and ensuring peaceful and just societies through multi-sector partnerships. This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Humans for SDGs podcast, where we feature everyday individuals who are taking action for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I'm one half of your host for today, Rex Arevalo.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Aya Antonio. With us today is someone who's trying to bridge the gender gap in the field of technology.
Our guest for today is the founder of a company called WeTech, which is going all around the country and across the globe, spreading the message about technology, inclusiveness, and women empowerment. Welcome, Ms. Audrey Peck.
Hi, Rex. Hi, Aya. Thank you so much for having me today.
Hi, Audrey. All right, let's start with the background of your organization. You started WeTech, or Women in Technology, when you were a sophomore in high school. What inspired you to start this?
That's a really great question. So WeTech really goes back to my middle school roots, and it was really inspired by a specific instance wherein I encountered tech for the first time. And in around grade 6, I was part of a computer class that we were required to take, and it was mandated by the DepEd. And in this class, we learned basic skills like Microsoft Office, PowerPoint, Excel. In all honesty, I didn't find tech that interesting because I'd grown up with those types of technologies until one day my teacher decided to go completely off curriculum and introduced us to this game where a snake had to navigate a maze using blocks that represented lines of code. That was the first time that I realized that the apps, websites, social media essentially that I loved and grew up with were made using code, and that I too could learn this mysterious and exciting language of the computers. That prompted me to ask my teacher if we would be learning more about coding, to which I was told that it isn't part of the national Philippine curriculum, but what I could do instead was go online and find resources there. That led to me going home and for the rest of middle school and high school at home spending all this time looking up free CS tutorials, finding websites like Codecademy, code.org, and watching introductory CS tutorials by Harvard put up on YouTube, all available for free. And it came to a point that fast forward to high school in grade 9, when there was all this pressure to decide what college course I wanted to choose, what school I wanted to go to, what kind of career path I wanted to pursue. I would tell my peers and my teachers that I was really interested in a career in technology. I received a surprising amount of pushback from those people. And I was told by my peers, for instance, that they were surprised I wanted to go into tech. And I was really brave because I was one of two girls in my entire grade level that wanted to go into STEM. Meanwhile, a teacher even told me that she couldn't imagine me being a good fit for tech. The exact word she used, so she didn't think I would be bagay, which for those of you that don't speak Filipino means like basically she didn't think I was suited towards technology. Upon reevaluating that statement, I realized that I too could not imagine myself being a successful person in tech. Because what society pushes forth as successful role models in technology are people like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. So middle-aged Caucasian guys that I felt like as at that time, a 15-year-old Filipina girl, I had very little I could relate to. That inspired me to look up women in technology and just simply find in research on statistics about women in technology, where they were, what barriers kept them from going into tech. And I found some pretty shocking stats, such as how only 18% of startups here in the Philippines are founded by women, according to the Philippine Startup Survey, and how, according to Payscale, internationally, women in tech are paid 18 to 22% less than their male counterparts. Many more statistics like that really urged me as a grade 10 student, a high school sophomore, to do something about this gender gap, because tech, to me at the time and up until now, is something that I perceive as the future. And it's a future that I feel all genders should be accessible to, and that's what really inspired me to do something about this gender gap, about this issue that impacts my generation so closely. And that was how WeTech was born.
So great, Audrey. Your story actually reminds me a bit about, you know, it was funny because you mentioned a video game or computer game there. It reminds me also, I was also influenced by a computer game in my career path. I eventually took a course in urban planning because of a game. I think we have a lot of parallels there in that sense. And what interests me, Audrey, is that, you know, you mentioned breaking barriers. You mentioned that you received a lot of pushback from your teachers. One of them, I think, said that she couldn't see you pursuing STEM. Now, what does this mean for you as a young woman who's breaking stereotypes in a sense and showing others that it is possible to go out of the box in terms of pursuing a career in technology?
Growing up here in the Philippines, so I've lived here all my life, I feel like there are so many different gender barriers besides that gender stereotype that tech is for guys and humanities it's for girls, and those types of unconscious stereotypes that society perpetrates, I think are things that really show us that there's so much more work that needs to be done in advancing the sustainable development goal for gender equality. I know that in terms of our neighbors in Southeast Asia, the Philippines marks fairly well in terms of perceived workplace equality, in terms of the pay gap in different fields like business. But there are still different reminders, I think, that exist in other fields like tech, like government, that show that much needs to be done if we want to make sure that the next generation of leaders or the next generation in general can feel like they can pursue anything regardless of what society tells them. And I think when you really embrace that, when you really look past gender and you just look at potential and merit and look at really what these young people right now can use to make a difference, like when we see past barriers like gender, we can see some really amazing results come out of it. And in my case, it was pursuing technology, even though those around me were telling me that I wouldn't be a good fit, or going online and seeing all these people, all these guys that I felt like I couldn't aspire to be like. So when we put forth and when we share stories such as mine, I really hope that we show many young people, not just girls really, that they can do anything regardless of what society perceives them to be or become.
Audrey, that's fascinating. I also believe in the power of, you know, believing in the potential of young people. And I think what's inspiring about your story also is that you tried to really satisfy your curiosity, you explored, and it led you to a new path, and it opened the doors to this wonderful world of technology that not a lot of people know about. So tell us about the team that you have in VTech, and are they all women, and what is the work that you're trying to do with the organization?
So VTech as a whole is geared towards educating, inspiring, and empowering youth from around the world to break gender barriers and use tech to make a difference in society. We have two overall goals: the ability to achieve gender equality and complete tech accessibility, in the sense that we're working towards this future where all youth, regardless of their gender or socioeconomic status, have access to tech and the potential to use it for social good. This isn't an easy goal by any means, and it's something that's taken a collective effort from our team. And I work with 70 plus high school, college students, and fresh graduates from around the globe. So from the Philippines, the US, and the UK. This team of mine isn't just composed of women, contrary to popular belief, since we are advocating for gender equality in tech. And we made a conscious effort to make our organization as inclusive, as diverse as possible, because we recognize that the fight for gender equality isn't just a women's issue. In an ideal 50-50 workplace, men just aren't going to go poof and disappear from the conversation. We want to empower them as well to start conversations about equality, to call out sexist behavior in the workplace, to make their female allies in tech feel as welcome and as capable of excelling in the field as their male friends in tech. And that's something that's going to take time and a lot of inclusivity, and that's what we really incorporate through welcoming guys as well into our VTech team.
That's very interesting, the point about inclusivity there, Audrey. I'm wondering, in your experience, so you have a team from all over the world there, 70 people, that's a lot. Now I'm wondering, in terms of the Philippines, in what direction do you think the tech and maybe the startup industries are going?
That is a really interesting question. And in comparison to our neighbors, the Philippines startup scene still has a long way to go. By neighbors, I mean countries like Hong Kong and Singapore, where there are so many new startups that are coming out each day, each week even. And the pace is really, really rapid. One thing that I've noticed that is holding the Philippine startup scene, tech scene behind is that we do not have accessible tech education. It is not integrated into our curriculum. It is not required by the government. And we also, for the most part, can attribute that to a lack of infrastructure, to a lack of computers in public schools. And understandably, there are a lot of issues that plague the education system here in the country, and technology may not be a top priority at the moment. But I strongly, and VTech strongly urges the government and those people that really want to make our tech scene better and more advanced to invest time, effort, and money into making sure that tech is accessible to all socioeconomic classes. I say this because in order to make sure that we close that gender gap in tech in the first place, we also want to be able to make sure that any youth from any part of the country, not just tech-saturated areas like Metro Manila and Cebu, get access to basic tech education so they themselves can decide whether or not it is a field they want to pursue. So much of the time I see through our Women in Tech Teach program, where we travel to different provinces and bring in introductory CS education, I see so many promising youth that just needed the push and the introduction to tech. And now they're considering majoring in things like computer science or taking vocational courses to deal with tech. And that happened because we helped expose them to tech. So think of all the areas that we're missing. Think of all the students that could have these careers, these rewarding, fruitful careers in tech, but miss these opportunities because they didn't have access to it. And I think until we address and we equalize technology for all youth from all backgrounds, we won't get to the point of a Silicon Valley or to the point of as rich a startup scene as places like Hong Kong or Singapore.
Right. Thank you, Audrey, for really advancing the conversation to, you know, having all these different sectors having to work together to achieve this. But what would you say to the young people and who may be experiencing some discouragement or maybe other struggles as they try to also make a difference, especially as they explore their potentials also and developing their skills along the way?
I love this question because I think so much of the time when I'm asked to talk about my work, the work we do at VTech as a community, there's a tendency to really focus on the highlights and not really talk about the struggle that it took to get to the impact that we've made today. And the journey overall to starting a nonprofit, especially as a teenager, to wanting to make an impact in your community is something that's very, very difficult because I think of the general culture as well that exists here in the Philippines where we're told as youth to wait for our turn. We're asked to go to school and finish and find a good job before thinking about how to make a difference and how to make an impact. I firmly believe that instead of asking young people what do you want to be when you grow up, we should be asking young people now what kind of impact do you want to make with the resources that you have. Once you have an idea of what problem in your community you want to help solve or help contribute towards a solution to, it then begins with thickening your skin really and knowing that not everybody is going to be supportive of that, of kind of breaking past the norm and of being proactive enough to look for a solution. But what's important is that instead of focusing on the pushback, in my case, people would kind of joke, oh, shouldn't you be at school right now when I'd be at a conference or trying to network with adults? Not everybody believes that gender equality is important or as important as I believe it is. And the reason why I've been able to kind of weather those remarks is because I anchor myself in this belief that tech should be a right instead of a privilege. So to all aspiring change makers out there that are feeling bouts of self-doubt, know that it's completely normal to feel that way. It's completely normal to receive pushback. And when you anchor yourself in your mission, your vision, when you keep around you a close inner circle of people that believe in the same things that you do, believe in you, really, that's where I think the real change and the real energy lies. It's never going to be a straightforward journey. There is no set path, set number of steps on how to become, you know, a change maker and advocate. But when you meet the right people and when you really make use of the resources that you have, when you start seeing results with the work that you're doing, in my case, that's young women reaching out to me via Instagram and saying that they now want to try to learn how to code, or seeing young students from low-income areas code for the first time because of the programs we brought in. Like, to me, that's what makes all of this, like, doubt, self-doubt, external doubt, hardships worth it. So that's my advice for those out there who want to start their own initiative.
That was beautiful, Audrey. And I'm just very curious because you seem to be a very positive person, someone who really wants to lead by example and include others. I'm wondering, what is it like working with your team? You mentioned you work with 70 young people from around the world. Are all these people somewhat like you in that they're very positive and they're really trying to make that difference and break those boundaries?
The team that I work with, while all coming from such diverse backgrounds, is really all anchored by this belief in wanting to make the tech scene better in terms of gender, in terms of socioeconomic status, having different access to these technologies. And I think there's an inherent positivity that comes with believing in that. So yes, I would say that people that join WeTech are optimistic in the sense that they join our team because they feel like they can contribute, because they can, and we as a whole can do something to change the tech industry that we are currently seeing in our world. And overall, I can't say that there's a specific kind of model of the type of person we recruit, but all I can say is that they believe in that fundamental principle of equality. And that's something that, despite having members from around the world, living in different countries, cities, different grade levels, as young as 14 and as quote unquote old as 22 years old, while working with such a diverse team, the most rewarding thing is that we know that everybody believes in that principle of equality. And that's something that connects people and has formed different partnerships and friendships that I think wouldn't have occurred otherwise.
That's wonderful, Audrey. Thank you for sharing your story with us. But before we let you go, share with us where people can find you online, how can they collaborate with you? And yeah, maybe you can give us a teaser as to what to expect next from the organization or from you as you embark in another journey, as you further your studies in technology.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So to connect with me, I am most active on Instagram and Twitter, classic Gen Z. So I'm at Audrey Isabelpe, at AudreyIsabelpe on those platforms. Also, feel free to shoot me any messages at audrey@metech.org if you want to get involved with us. In terms of future plans, we have rolling applications open for a chapter expansion program, which is basically an initiative in which we equip people from around the world, around the Philippines, with educational resources such as modules and support to launch your own Women in Tech Teach programs, conferences, webinars, etc. That's what we're going to be doing looking forward, moving forward, opening more chapters. We currently have chapters in places like New York, Liberia, Iloilo. So stay tuned for that and keep in touch, and or get in touch if you want to open your own chapter in your own community. In terms of my personal kind of journey moving forward, I'm going to be starting school at Stanford this fall to potentially major in science, technology, and society. So I'm really excited about where the journey lies over there. And hopefully while I'm in the United States, while I'm studying right beside Silicon Valley, I can get more attention going about issues in the Philippine startup scene and why we can't leave countries like the Philippines behind in terms of tech access, tech resources. So I'm excited about that. And thank you again for having me today.
Are you already nerding out about getting to go to Silicon Valley?
I'm very, very excited, that's for sure. Like, fun fact, I've never visited Stanford's campus before, but I'm looking forward to the opportunities it will bring for me and WeTech as a whole.
Congratulations, Audrey, for all the success. And of course, we wish you luck, and not just luck, but wonderful surprises as you continue on your journey. Thank you for joining us, Audrey.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Audrey. All right, this wraps up our episode. Thank you all for listening. This has also been part of a celebration of World Youth Skills Day on July 15th. So I hope you guys have been inspired by the story of Audrey. Bye-bye, guys. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Humans for SDGs podcast. This has been Brex Arevalo.
This has been Aya Antonio.
Please tune in to our next episode, where we will be featuring more individuals who are taking action for the UN SDGs.
This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/YouthForcePH.